For someone whose main band broke up in 1970, Sir Paul McCartney has been plenty busy of late, winning awards for his classical work, releasing a new album, Memory Almost Full, and a high-profile divorce, not to mention the 40th anniversary of the Beatles' masterwork, Sgt. Pepper, and the small matter of turning 65. Today we talk with Paul about his new album and his past, including the warm memories he has of working with John Lennon on Sgt. Pepper. As we talked with Paul at his producer David Kahn's studio in New York City, his new album, Memory Almost Full, had just debuted at number 3. I asked Paul whether his move from EMI, his record company since the Beatles signed with them in 1962, to the Starbucks-associated Hear Music label represented his increased ambition for this new album.
I think it reflects the state of the music biz at the moment. Yeah, I think the major labels are at an awkward point in their lives with all the changes going on around them. And my record producer, David Kahn, likened them to dinosaurs sitting around talking about the asteroid. So I think that's more the thing. It's not really particularly, it just happens to have all happened on this record, because I was talking to him and saying, you know, we've got to find a way of making it exciting for us to release this record, because it's exciting to make the record and to write the music and to sit in the studio like this and play it. That's all really great. But there comes a point where it just suddenly all goes deadbeat, and it's like you hand it over to someone and sort of say, do your best with this. You know, and then if they're kind of very corporate and not quite sure what to do, you know, we just suddenly thought, no, you know what, we better rethink this. So we had quite an exciting time, still am, just rethinking it and just using what's out there, you know, like the sort of the internet and iTunes and Starbucks stores.
Getting played at however zillion Starbucks stores all in one day. I hear 6 million people heard the album the day it came out. That's pretty amazing.
Well, you know, that was their idea. They said, you know, we can do that. And they said it'd be the world's largest listening party. So when people are coming up with ideas like that, you know, you don't turn them down. You go, yeah, that'd be great. And it brings the excitement that I was looking for, which I'd lost, and I think, you know, the record companies have kind of lost a bit. And I just remembered it from when we first released records. You know, it was a very exciting time, and I wanted to bring that excitement back.
Well, let's listen to some music from Memory Almost Full, because there's a whole bunch to talk about with this album. First of all, the title's perfect. Was there a eureka moment when you came up with it?
It kept being on my phone. you know, my phone says message memory almost full. I get a little text when there's too much info on there. And so I just liked to see that. I thought it was a kind of fun way to indicate that to me. It was just a new way of saying it, memory almost full. And I also thought there was kind of something poetic about that. You know, I said, yeah, I can relate to that. You know, overload, sensory overload of today's world. So much information going in there. And I'm a great one for trying to leave a bit of space. You know, I say to all my business people, I say, look, I'm an artist. I can't come to all these meetings. Like, there's got to be quite a big space in my brain to allow a song to fly in. You know, so it appealed to me when I saw Memory Almost Full. And it kept coming back to me, and then somebody said, well, what are you going to call the album? I said, I don't know, and had a couple of suggestions. And actually, one of the first people was David Kahn. I was ringing him on a phone call, and I said, I was thinking of calling the album Memory Almost Full. He went, wow, that's just great, man. And people started to have that reaction. I go, oh, okay, good, let's go.
Well, there's a bit of memory, a bit of looking back on the album, and I wanted to talk about a couple of the songs that have that theme in it. Part of the great medley on the towards the end of it is a song called "That Was Me," and you have to explain a couple things as we listen to this, because they're memories of yours. And for instance, Conkers, playing Conkers on a blanket.
Yeah. You know what Conkers is? It's the thing, you know, when all the British kids play. It's the horse chestnut tree. Gives off these little things that we call conkers. And what you do when you're a kid is you take a skewer from the kitchen and you put a hole through the conker, and then you put a piece of string through that. You tie a knot in the string. So you've got this little chestnut hanging on a string. And then you hold it, and then your mate takes his conker and bashes yours. And if it breaks it, he's won. And his becomes a wanna. And then he tries another one. If he breaks that, his becomes a tour. So you try and work up, you know, the conquests of the conkers. And the funny thing is, so that's a game from when I was a kid. The funny thing is, it's actually just being outlawed in our PC world because it's too dangerous for young children. It's like, oh, give me a break.
Well, the other reference to that song you'll have to explain is talking about playing the Royal Irish.
Royal Irish, yeah. That's an early memory from playing with the Beatles. One of the early gigs we did was that they used to have a thing on the ferry boat, you know, the ferry across the River Mersey. Used to take you from Liverpool over to a place called Birkenhead. And that those ferries were used to occasionally have these events on them called Riverboat Shuffle. So there would be a band or two. And people would pay. It would be a big dance, boozing, and the boat would just go up and down the river instead of just across the river. So it would be a few hours. And we were booked on a couple of those on this boat called the Royal Irish.
And I love the image of sweating cobwebs as well. So let's listen to it. That was me.
That was me at the scout camp in the school play, spade and bucket by the sea. That was me. That was me playing conkers at the bus stop on a blanket in the bluebells. That was me. The same me that stands here now. And when I think that all this stuff can make a life, it's pretty hard to take it in. That was me. Royal Irish on the river, Mersey beating with the band. That was me. Yeah, that was me. Sweating cobwebs under contract in the cellar on TV. That was me. The same me that stands here now. If fate decreed that all of this would make a lifetime, who am I to disagree? That was me.
That was me. Our guest is Paul McCartney. And
no, that was me.
No, that was you. From the album Memory Almost Full. And we're playing some of the songs here and getting some impressions. One of my favorites is Mr. Bellamy. The arrangement on this, the horns at the beginning, there's a little kind of woodwind thing that goes into the kind of coda part. It's just kind of, it's beautiful. Dare I say, it's a little Pepper-esque. But now, you don't read music. How do you translate these arrangements?
I know a man who does. You know, I have friends who, what I do is I just sort of say, okay, now here's the chords. I want it to be like this. I want it to be in a cluster. I'll play it on the piano and my friend will notate it. And it depends, really. I use various people. Whoever I think has got a good grasp of, often it's whoever's good at working with the orchestra as well, because they often conduct it as well. So, that's what I do, and we just talk, we work it out. On the woodwind thing, that's a clarinet, and that was kind of more free.
Mm-hmm.
I said to the guy, we actually wrote a part for him, and then I said, you know, it's actually too wooden. So I said, tell you what, do as a take. These are jazz, often these guys are jazz players anyway. I said, just give us a sort of, here's the feeling I want to get. This guy is maybe about to jump off a building. There's a tension there. Think about this as a movie. Will he jump? Will he not? Think about being inside his mind. He said, oh, all right. And he loved that brief. So then he just, he went off on one. But no, that's how I do it. It's just I get someone to help me.
Well, this is Mr. Bellamy.
I'm not coming down.
you do. I like it up here without you.
All right, Mr. Bellamy, we'll have you down soon.
No one do tell me what to do. No one to hold my hand. Bellamy's got a lot to do, and I hope that you'll understand. Nobody here to spoil the view, interfere with my plans. Bellamy's got a job to do, and he's hoping you'll understand.
Steady, lads, easy does it. Don't frighten him. Here we go.
I'm not coming down, no matter what you say. I like it up here anyway.
Sit tight, Mr. Bellamy, this shouldn't take long.
In the delusion that is there, no wonder he's been feeling strange of late.
Nobody here to spoil the view, interfere with my plans. Bellamy's got a job to do, and he's hoping you'll understand.
It's Mr. Bellamy from the new Paul McCartney album. You touched on something when you described that it's kind of cinematic, and maybe that's what I'm getting when I'm thinking of Sgt. Pepper, because that was certainly widescreen.
Technicolor.
Yeah, indeed. Now, one of the things, so much happening in things connected with your life, and of course the 40th anniversary of Sgt. Pepper is a great kind of media peg, but I'm feeling kind of like from the audience a whole lot of warmth about that as well. And I was just wondering what your fondest memory of working on that was.
On Pepper?
Yeah.
Oh, there's so many. Fondest, I don't know. I just have to grab what comes into my mind, you know, what immediately just drops in there. Sitting, writing Day in the Life with John. He came around to my house and he had like the first verse. I read the news today, oh boy. And we started there. And this is how we'd often work. You know, he'd have the melody and words of the first few lines and we'd set off. So that would set the picture.
I read the news today. About a lucky man who made the grade. And though the news was rather sad, well, I just had to laugh. I saw the photograph.
So that was a great memory, and the moment we sort of sat, as we got into it deeper, sort of looked at each other as we did, you know, I'd love to turn you on. It was like, whoa, naughty boy, mischievous look went between us. We thought, yep, gotta do it.
I saw a film today, oh boy. The English army had just won the war. A crowd of people turned away. I just had to look, having read the book. I'd love to turn you.
Well, you did an extraordinary interview with the New Yorker where you talked about. I found this just amazing that the. For When I'm 64, the melody, the music for that, you wrote when you were single digits or barely double digits?
16, yeah.
Wow.
I think I was about 16. Yeah. We used to have a piano at home, and my dad was a good pianist, and he was self-taught, couldn't read music. But he was like a party pianist. He used to have a little jazz band when he was a kid, when he was like 22. He used to have a thing called Jim Max Jazz Band. So we always had a piano, and I used to, you know, lie on the carpet and just sort of hear him tinkling away and playing all these old sort of Paul Whiteman, old real early jazz things. Chicago, Chicago, Lullaby of the Leaves, all these kind of real old things. So I always loved it. And seeing as the piano was there, I hit a point in my life where I started to try and find my way around on it. He didn't want to teach me because he thought I should take proper music lessons. He said, no, if you're going to learn it, don't do what I did. You know, I said, but you're great, though. I like the way you play. He said, no, you got to. So I had to teach myself. I actually did take music lessons, but I found them kind of boring. I didn't kind of relate to what I wanted to do. It was so do-dee-doo-dee-doo-dee-doo-dee-doo. Exactly. So, you know, I didn't bother with that. It's not that I don't encourage kids to. If you're into it, do it, because it's kind of handy. But, yeah, so we had a piano there, and I started messing around with it and came up with the melody of When I'm 64.
And the lyrics, you were older. You were
lyrics were like more 1967.
Oh, okay.
Those were kind of more sardonic, a twist, a little bit more ironic.
What's it like to listen to that now? What's it like to see what you thought 64 was going to be like?
Yeah, exactly. It's weird, man. It's weird. Well, it's a little bit uncanny because, you know, it's like just I must have been about 24. What a 24-year-old would think about 40 years in the future. And it's interesting, you know, I have grandchildren, but they're just not called Vera, Chuck, or Dave.
I could be handy mending a fuse when your lights have gone. You can knit a sweater by the fireside. Sunday mornings go for a ride. Doing the garden, digging the weeds. Who could ask for more? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64? Every summer we can rent a cottage in the Isle of Wight if it's not too dear. We shall scrimp and save. Grandchildren on your knee. Vera, Chuck, and
Paul McCartney is our guest, and I wanted to play another one from the disc Ever Present Past, which is a really great song. And I'm curious, as a writer, when you put together, I think this is a particularly strong set of songs on this album, but here you are, you're Paul McCartney, and you're always kind of competing with Paul McCartney, with John Lennon, Paul McCartney, the Beatles. Do you ever go, oh, no, it's not as good as what I could have done? Or,
well, you know, it's okay. It's inevitable.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a sports star, you know, Michael Jordan, you know, he had to compete with his great plays. It's just the way it is. And I do occasionally get aware of it, but I just push it out of my brain and go, no, you know, that's going to make you nervous to write. So don't bother about that. So I actually just ignore that fact and just sort of think, yeah, you know, let me, because I kind of write for pleasure. So I can push that out of my mind quite easily and just sort of think, it doesn't matter. You know, you want to write a song just for the fun of it. And then it doesn't occur to me. I don't start to think, oh, this is not like Eleanor Rigby. You know, I just kind of ignore that fact, but I know what you mean.
I've got too much on my plate. Don't have no time to be a decent lover. I hope it isn't too late. Searching for the time that has gone so fast. The time that I thought would last. My ever-present past. I've got too much on my mind. I think of everything to be discovered. I hope there's something to find. Searching through the time that has gone so fast. The time that I thought would last. My ever-present past.
A couple more questions. One of them is, you're one of the most unusual people in the world, and there's, you're in a situation that hardly anybody is, and I just wanted to ask about kind of dealing with this. Are you ever able to be in a situation where you don't have to be Paul McCartney, where you can just be citizen of the world?
Yeah, you know, I've always been careful to make that happen in my life. So even at the height of the Beatles, I would take the bus or the train to a gig and, like, walk in. And then there'd be like a big gang of fans. Say, wait, hey, what do you want? Autograph. Okay, let's walk quietly towards the gig and we'll do an autograph. So, I mean, I like that. I like just sitting on a bus. I do that still. People say, oh, you can't go to the movies. Paul McCartney, I said, you want to bet? I just saw Arthur and the Invisibles and I just checked out this or whatever the other day. So I do all that. Say, you can't go to a supermarket. I said, of course I can. But, you might get noticed by someone. They come up and say, can I take a picture? Because everyone's got cameras on their phones now. And I say, no, you know, I hope you don't mind. But I'm shopping. And, shopping is really not easy for a guy. I've got to actually think of what I want and then find it. So people understand that. So I can be me quite often. And I think it's important to do that to balance up the high-profile stuff.
The other question is just, you've been extraordinarily available. I mentioned a wonderful, lengthy interview in the New Yorker you did, and you're, out there kind of pressing the flesh a bit more than you have been lately. Is that all about this album and all about this? Or I'm just curious, you're at an age where people might start looking at how they're going to go down in history, how they're going to be perceived. And is there an element of making yourself known?
No, it's kind of what you do when you've got an album out. I just wanted to do it well and to make it interesting for me. So, I mean, and it's funny how these things happen. I mean, in truth, my daughter Stella, who's a bit of a viber and is a, real sort of energetic lady, very talented, she just rang me up. She said, Dad, you should really do an interview with the New Yorker. So I rang David Remnick. I got his number, rang him up. He's the editor. I said, hi, David. It's Paul McCartney here. Oh, hi, Paul. I said, I've been told by my daughter that I ought to ring you and do an interview with him. I said, and, I'm not going to fight that. So I'm doing it. He said, and he laughed. And so for me, it's mainly to do with the new album. Mm. And it's to do with what you do when you've got a new album out. I'll probably, in the summer, I'll just stop and I'll just relax. I'll just, get in the pool, get on the beach, get on my sailboat. I won't be doing interviews then.
Get on stage.
I've got a couple more little things, like we did last night in New York, to do. We're going to do something in L.A. But we're only doing little things just for now. I might do something bigger next year. That's kind of being looked at the moment. But I think we're going to take it pretty easy for the rest of the year. It's quite a bit of work getting an album out. And I've got another kind of classical piece I'm working on.
Guitar concerto?
Yeah, I've got a guitar piece I'm working on, which is great fun. Because, I like guitar.
So we've noticed. Thank you so much for talking with us. It's a real treat.
It's been fun. Thank you.
Paul McCartney, our guest here on the World Cafe.